on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Good evening, welcome to the Orient Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm Glenn Wilkie. Joining me in the studio is Christian Wheeler. Evening, Christian.
Evening, Glenn. Evening, all.
Good, good. Coming up in tonight's show, obviously, we're going to discuss the disappointing game at the weekend away to Southend. We're going to talk about Joby. We're going to talk about the breaking news today, the women's football team, the games left in the season. We're going to discuss what we do with those. And also we're going to have Orient legend Dean Cox joining us shortly on the phone. But before we do that, let's hear from Dave Victor from Southend.
Like so many of the Orient faithful, I live in Essex, and two of my oldest and closest friends are lifelong Southend United supporters. Back in the 70s, it wasn't an issue. The O's were in the second division, the Blues in the fourth. Orient played on a Saturday, Southend on a Friday night. Our clubs never met, and all was well with the world. I'll always remember how strange I felt to see the O's at Roots Hall in a league match for the first time. Something felt very wrong. Since then, of course, the tables have turned. Southend spending time in the Championship, the O's competing in the FA Trophy. Over the years, the importance of the meetings between the O's and the Blues seem to have grown for both me and my mates. Southend against Colchester is meant to be the one they care about, but they don't. And that's because I don't think they know a Colchester supporter. It's the connection and not the distance between supporters where true rivalry begins. Just ask any Crystal Palace or Brighton Hove Albion fan. The anticipation of the O's facing the Blues, even in a Football League trophy game, has become ridiculous. Men of our age should know better. But when we're in the same division, it's the first fixture we look for. It's the one we look forward to the most. It's the one we care about. It's definitely the one we talk about more than any other. And when the season finishes, it's the match that we'll always remember. And that's why Saturday's performance felt so flat. The O's lacked energy, creativity, and above all, passion. My mates have been quick to remind me that Southend had only scored once in their previous 9 home matches, and Saturday's victory was only their second of the year at Roots Hall. It's now 2 years since Justin led the O's to their most important promotion in the club's history. I dread to think what would have happened had the O's been trapped in the chaos that is now the National League. My friends are only too aware of how difficult it will be for Southend to return to the Football League. So missing out on the playoffs is disappointing. Losing to Southend is simply embarrassing. But the O's have come a long way in a short period of time. It's an important summer. Huge decisions have to be made to ensure that our club continues to move in the right direction.
Well, Dave Victor, not a happy man there, it seems. There's words, big words, embarrassing from Dave, which is very unlike Dave. So it's really hurt him Saturday. What do you think, Christian? Obviously, you saw the game. There's been numerous, I'm not going to say meltdown, but there's been numerous supporters airing their frustrations online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. all along the same lines. We lacked energy, we lacked creativity, there was no passion in the team. Do they know that it was a derby? We're going for the playoffs. Southend have not scored at home in 7 games. All those things, and we come away from there getting beat 2-1. What was your feelings and your thoughts on that?
I think Dave sums it up pretty well, to be quite honest. I think for me, as I say, I live local to Southend, and you know, I did feel embarrassed. I actually thought about turning my phone off. For me, you know, living locally and have people that are taking the mickey out of me for a club that's one off the bottom, and sort of rejoicing in that victory was pretty hard to take. I think the online stuff is, I would say, is probably a culmination of people's frustrations. I think it's been happening over the last couple of weeks, whether that be, you know, the performances, or, you know, some indifferent results, or, you know, the fact that, you know, the playoffs are gone. I think that culminated with losing to Southend, and I think everyone's frustrations has come out a little bit.
Do you think the players, because there was a very, very slim outside chance going into the Southend game that we could still make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you think the players actually still believe that they could do that? Because they certainly didn't show it on the pitch.
Listen, whether they thought they did or not, surely for a game like that, they know the magnitude of a game like that. You know, I think if you'd have said to people 6 months ago, you're only allowed to get to one game in the next 6 months, I'd probably guess 99% of people would want a ticket for that.
Not Newport at home, though.
Newport at home was actually great. It's probably the most exciting part of the season for many people. But, you know, that they should have known the magnitude of that game. You know, they had a lot on their plate. Obviously, living locally as well, I saw a lot of the coverage locally, and, you know, they had fans outside protesting, and, you know, that they had a lot riding on that game as well. So there should have been a little bit of bite to that game. And as everyone's seen, it was very, very flat and very, very disappointing.
Yeah. And another person who watched the game who's joining us now is ex-Orient superstar Dean Cox. Dean, are you there?
I'm there. Good evening, guys.
I wasn't being a bit too over the top with superstar, was I?
No, I'll take that one. Thanks, mate.
No worries. We're just discussing the Southend game. Obviously, you watched that on Saturday, because I saw you tweet afterwards your frustrations, and
yeah.
we were just talking about, did the players really still believe that they could get into the playoffs, and did they know the magnitude of what the supporters, that derby, that rivalry, so to speak, did they really go into the game knowing what it was about? Because it certainly didn't show on the pitch. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was ever so flat with what was on the line. You know, a chance to get in the playoffs, you should be running through brick walls. You know, it's a derby anyway, you should be making tackles. You know, I didn't see anyone. You know, I'm not saying go around kicking people and hurt people, but firm, honest tackles. I didn't see that. I just felt from the start it just looked really flat. And obviously the goals that were conceded were disappointing. Again, individual mistakes. But yeah, I think I'd like to think that the lads would know the magnitude of the game, the rivalry, as you've touched on. But obviously, from what we saw, you know, it didn't really match it. But I think, yeah, I think for me, it was just really flat. But I think it's been like that for a while. I think, listen, they've picked up some great results along the way. But I do think, you know, it needs to be an injection of something. It just looks really flat, and like I said, especially the Southend game, it looks so flat and lifeless really at times, the game.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. There's been reports, it's not been 100% confirmed by the club, that all current players who are out of contract in the summer have been told whether they're being retained, offered new deals, or they're being released. Now, that was supposedly happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. Would that have had an adverse effect on the players? Would that affect the players who are being released who started on Saturday or came off the bench? Would that affect their attitude, their performance?
Yeah, I think with that, I think I've heard the reports, and like you say, if that is the case, I think it can work either way. I think you'd like to think that if you've been offered a new deal, that, you know, you're going to go out there, you want it, you know, you've got a chance of being playing in League One. So if you're there a longer amount of time, you want to do the best for the club. I guess the tricky side is that the boys have been told that they're not. You'd like to think they'd remain professional and want to play and want to do well to obviously try and find somewhere else to go. But as we well know, sometimes, you know, there might have some made down tools. I don't know, but it works both ways for me. I probably would have waited, but listen, you could say from the club's perspective, they're letting them know early, which, you know, as a player, you would like to know that, because obviously, you know, people have got mortgages to pay and know that they've got to, you know, look elsewhere, and their representatives will look elsewhere. But I think where we were, I mean, listen, I don't think we'll make the playoffs now. It'd be an absolute miracle. But yeah, a difficult one, but for me, I probably would have left it. But I mean, I don't know what certain individuals have been told what, but maybe that did coincide with a flat performance. If some of the ones that have been told they're leaving did play, were in the starting 11 versus Southend, I don't know.
With regards to that, you said players who have been told they're leaving, if they did, we don't know. We don't know who's been told what, but there's just reports, obviously, that they got told a few weeks ago. Now, I'm guessing with 16 players in the squad out of the 22 that are up, there's going to be players who was in that squad Saturday and possibly the Cambridge game the week, but on the Tuesday before, that have been told they can leave.
Yeah.
You've said their professionalism should come through, and they're in the shop window, they're being watched, they want a new club, which is great. You don't want them to down tools, which certain players will do naturally, but also going into a derby game, which is blood and guts and thunder and massive tackles normally, you've got players who don't want to get injured as well in the same respect, you know?
Sorry, mate. Fair point. That's hit the nail on the head. I missed that out. Exactly. I think, like I said, with blood, thunder and tackles, but like you say, if people have contracts are running out, you know, the end of June, whatever, then, like you say, they're going to jump out of tackles naturally, because, like you say, who's going to want to that's injured? Nobody.
Mm.
Yeah. Glenn, is that not a fine line between the management and the players, though? For me, I get exactly what you and Dino are saying. There's a fine line between putting yourself in the shop window and not and taking yourself out the shop window by getting injured. But surely, do the management not look at that as well and think, oh, we've not offered Glenn a new deal for next year?
That has happened, by the way, a lot in my life.
I think we've all had it. But wouldn't it be that we haven't offered Glenn a new deal for next season? Should we think about maybe putting someone in that's contracted, or a kid that we may be thinking of offering a year pro to? Because, you know, regardless of Southend's situation, over the last probably one or two seasons, maybe for monetary reasons, or, you know, they've had an embargo, they've blooded more youngsters than ever, and some of them have kicked on and got deals off. For me, being a fan, I can see both sides. But to me, if I was their agent, I'd also be saying, look, there's going to be more footballers out of work next season than ever. Surely you got to give yourself the best possible chance to get yourself a deal. And, you know, everyone in football knows each other. Everyone in football speaks. That new club will do their due diligence. Yeah, he was all right. He didn't do a bad job for us. But I tell you what, when we told him that he wasn't getting a contract, he down tools and just sacked the rest of the season off. That's not going to do him any favours, is it, going forward?
No, I fully understand that and I agree with that. But in this modern day era with social media and all the tech we've got, all these players have showreels now, which is going to, don't they? I've been watching too many American sports,
they do.
I don't know.
Yeah, they all
have showreels that their agents will pump around to clubs, which is always going to be their best bits. So that will go round. They're never going to say, oh, there's a tackle I pulled out of. And so not all clubs will, especially in COVID times, with people not being able to get into games. I don't know how freely available these game clips are at the moment. It will be pumped out by their agents. So maybe they're sort of looking at it that way as well. I don't know. I'm not saying players did pull out of tackles on Saturday or Tuesday night or didn't give it their all because they're not getting a new deal. I'm just saying, could that have happened?
to be fair, if you're an agent or your football club, or you're someone working within a football club, you've got access to that technology where you can watch every game, start to finish anyway. So they're gonna see the sort of the full extent of it.
Right.
And really, I'm not going to be harsh on anyone, but there's a few older statesmen in that squad that really, at their age, they're probably going to end up going to the conference or conference south. That's probably the reality of some of those footballers. And I would be doing my, I don't know what Dino thinks, but I'll be doing my damnedest to try and get myself a deal, because there's going to be a massive filter down from the Premiership players going into the Championship, Div 1, and so on and so forth.
Well, didn't Martin Ling say at the AGM a couple of weeks back that there's potentially 75% of players in League 1 and League 2 going to be released? So that's an awful lot of players.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if that figure's true or not. I'm guessing you obviously you've got your fingers in a few agents' pockets sort of thing, and you get that feedback probably more than most, but I didn't know if that was Martin Ling saying that to sort of the players who have been offered deals who are stalling. Is that to say, well, if you don't sign it, there's plenty of players coming available, or that is actually a true number?
See, I think you made a very good point the other day. Obviously, we've got our WhatsApp group and we chat, and you know, I actually made the point that if I was a footballer at Leyton Orient and someone had offered me a deal, I would be taking that deal now. Mm. I wouldn't be holding out, because I think there are going to be very, and that's the point I made, Dino. And to be fair, Glenn made, and I think maybe Lee Boyce made a point between themselves that, you know, that they're probably waiting, one, to see who the managers are, and two, if they've got a deal elsewhere. Whereas, you know, I think current climate, you know, not just the footballing world, but outside of that, for me, I think it would be very, very silly of someone to have a 2-year deal on the table to turn that down. That's just my personal opinion in these current times. And I think Martin Ling sort of alluded to that, and at the same time tried to light a fire under a few people to say, look, you might not get a better offer elsewhere.
Yeah, because there's obviously a few players who, what we're hearing, they were offered contracts around Christmas time or maybe before that. To get tied down for the next season and beyond, who have stalled, which you can understand a player's point of view.
Of course.
They've had a reasonable first half of the season. After Christmas, maybe not so, because of how the season's gone. At what point of a player do you think, or what's the latest as a player you would think, I need to sign this deal now?
Dino, it's over to you.
That's a tough one. I mean, every individual's different, aren't they? I mean, like we just said there, I think if in this current climate, if I was offered a 2-year deal, I'd snap your hand off.
Yeah.
I'd take it. Not only because it's just a 2-year contract, but the club is trying to build building blocks to go and do something. But yeah, like you say, I think players are waiting, one, for the manager, 100%. And again, yeah, their agents saying to them, look, we've got so-and-so and so-and-so that are interested, that listen, they're stalling for a bit, let's see if we can get you a few more quid. And that, you know, that's the be-all end already. But for me, you know, like we said, this climate, 2-year deal, whatever it is, 2-3-year deal, you'd snap the hand off for that. I certainly would. But yeah, everyone's different, that's the problem.
Dino, do you think that obviously, say these contracts were offered when Ross was in the job, right? So there was a manager in place and they're stalling on it because they want to see what's going to happen after Christmas, how many clean sheets they keep, how many goals they score, whoever the player is. Management changes, obviously we've got Joby as interim. How important, say the player doesn't get any offers from clubs in higher divisions, or monetary value or terms are not what they wanted and they want to stay, do you think by the club not appointing a full-time manager is holding any of them back?
Well, I think it could be, yeah. I think it's a very difficult position that the club are in. I think the sooner they make that call, I think it'll be a domino's effect. But obviously, with what's going on, it's stalled for whatever reason. You know, I'm not sure if they're sure on Joby or not, you know, but they do need to come to a decision. And like you say, for the players that are there, you know, they're playing the games, and like you said, it got offered a deal when the previous manager was there. You know, it's still on the table with Joby, but, you know, is the manager then going to change? Will his the new manager come in? Will his tactics change? Will I fit into that formation or way? And I think those sorts of scenarios are in the players' heads at the moment. I think if, you know, they come out and say Joby's got it, then I certainly think that you'll see a few signs. So, yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's a dominoes effect. I just think they need to obviously sort who they want in charge long term. Whether it be Joby or not, and players will probably react off of that accordingly.
But before we come on to the Joby subject, which we will, there's a question. I want to go back a few questions. When we were talking about players who are out of contract or been told they can leave and play in. Now, obviously, you've played football for a number of years. Have you been in that situation yourself, Dino? Or have you had teammates who have been in the changing room where they've not been offered a deal and been told they can leave at a certain point, where there's games to go in a season, and you've seen the change in them on the pitch if they're still playing?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, there's been certain occasions, I won't name, but...
No, go on, please, go on.
No, I can't do that. But there has, and it hasn't happened to me, but the closest I got to that was when I knew Russell Slade was going before it come out. I had a deal on the table at the time, and I hadn't signed, and he had left, and it was left on the table, and obviously we know who came in after that. Mm. And my last conversation with Russell was, don't not stay, you love it here, you know, stay. You know, don't because I'm going, you know, deter, you know, that your love and affiliation with the football club. And you know, I obviously then went on the sign, but I don't know, it's difficult. Listen, naturally, if you know you're not going to be there that season, you know, the players I've seen, you know, obviously their training tempo changes during the week.
Disruption, you know, around a training ground?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, there could be a few whispers here and there, and, you know, it doesn't help. That's why I said that was my opinion, but like I said, it depends again on the individual. In the individual, if he's professional, he takes it on the chin, right, no problem. You know, like, if it happened to me, I'd roll my sleeves up and my agent would have said to me, look, Coxie, just do what you've got to do. If you're in the team, do the best you can do. We get people watching you. We need to get you a deal for next year. That would be the perfect scenario for the club with regards to what they've done. But, you know, we're all humans. We all react differently to different situations. So, like I said, it really does determine on the individual.
Sorry, Christian, right. 1 minute. Just that contract that you had on the table with Russell Slade and you didn't sign it, was you holding out for more money?
No, I was hoping... Well, he said he was going, then it was in the balance. So for me, I was waiting to see if he'd come back. And right. Obviously, we then had the conversation that he wasn't. And, you know, he obviously told me the plans that were what was to come in. He obviously didn't foresee what was going to happen, but he was sceptical. But obviously, he knew how much I loved the football club. And obviously, then I took the decision, even though he left, to stay.
Don't you think, Glenn, as well, this is a bit of another fallout from the result? Because this to me seems to be another bit of something that's been blown up by losing to Southend. This is fairly normal at football clubs, isn't it? Like, you've been at football clubs, you know, Dean, myself, whatever. Come to April, most people know anyway whether they're getting a new deal or not. Is that just not another excuse why we played so poorly on Saturday? Because most people at this time of the year know what they're doing next year, whether they've been bombed or, you know, they're in negotiations or they're going somewhere else and keeping it on the sly. Is that just not another excuse for a very, very poor performance on Saturday?
Could be, but I also think with the change of management...
Definitely the change of...
With the traffic light situation, that the greens are staying, you've got the undersideds as the amber and the reds are out the door. I think when Ross left and Joby come in, some of them red players came into to the orange and possibly green, and likewise, because you've got people like Joe Widdowson coming in, who was sort of frozen out. Turley, who came in, who was frozen out. You've got them players who have then come back in. Now, we don't know who's being retained and who's not, but I think some of them players who thought they were going got a bit of renewed hope because they was in and around the first team again or whatever. And some of the players who possibly were going to stay, who thought they were sort of nailed on for a contract, might be going the other way.
Yeah.
So I think with the management situation, you're right in what you're saying. People will probably 90% know March time. Doesn't excuse the performance they put in last night and previous games as well. I think it helps.
We don't know who's going, but we could probably, we'll say that we'll have a bet on who's going. Let's just use a Dayton or a Coulson as an example, because they haven't figured much this season or in general. Both been good servants. Surely in their hearts of hearts, they know they're not going to get... Most of them people, surely, that haven't refigured, you have got the Turleys and the Widdowsons that might think, I've got a chance here. I've come out the red, I'm in the green or the amber, whatever it may be. But for people like that, bar sort of Louis Dennis, who's come to the fore the last three or four games, they must know in their hearts of hearts they're not getting a new deal.
You would hope so, but...
They can't be surprised, can they?
But in life, some people are intelligent, some are not, some are dreamers. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But it's one of them. But going on to that, are we? The team has been so inconsistent this season. We'll go and win three games, then we'll lose three games.
Yep.
It's been like that throughout the season. Are we being harsh on these players because they filled everyone with hope because we got so close to the playoff positions and we was in the top six at one point. And then they go on a run and lose two or three and then everyone's down again. Did they give us too much hope and were they overachieving? I know there was a few players who came in January, but were the players, are they up to standard? Are they good enough or did they exceed expectations when they were winning games? But because... they're not possibly the greatest players in that division, as they've shown, because they're so inconsistent. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I think we found our level. I think we've finished pretty much where we should finish, to be quite honest. And outside of the Cheltenhams and the teams we spoke about last week, Cambridge, I think outside of that, most teams could probably win a couple, lose a couple throughout the season. I think we've probably ended up where we deserve. If you look at the squad, it hasn't massively changed since the conference. Obviously, we've brought a couple in, and I'd say the ones that Ross have brought in are probably the ones that have done very, very well. I was unsure about Kemp at the start, but obviously he's really kicked on now. But can you say the way that we've been playing and the players that we've got, we're going to get into the top three? We might have snuck into the playoffs, but I think if you could have put a longer winning run together, you probably could have sneaked into the playoffs. But I don't think it's a missed opportunity, I think, because of the mess that we found ourselves in and the continual change. And I think, for me, I just think we've ended up where we should be, really. I can't see the players that we've got and the way that we've played recently. Like, we go back to contracts. I'm sure Danny Johnson's been offered a contract. They'd be probably mad not to. If you was Danny Johnson at this point in time, would you sign a new contract? Because, I think... I'll read all the comments probably just like you and try and make some notes and dissect the game, etc. And I can't remember who made it on Saturday, but he scored 20 goals. He's probably only touched the ball about 40 times this season.
I remember doing a stat when I was on the Orient Live, and Andrew Butler, who's absolutely brilliant stat man, he came up with a stat sort of early January, and I think he had a goal for every three touches or something ridiculous like that. But that was for that first half of the season.
There's been games this year where he scored and he hasn't scored, but both myself and my boy's only seven, he said, is Danny Johnson playing? Yeah. Because he's just not touched it. And if I was him and I'd scored 20 odd goals and he's got an offer elsewhere, you know, he probably is one of the ones that are waiting to see what the management is and what the project is for the future and what players they've got in the pipeline. He would be one that's probably thinking, you know, I don't know what to do. Vigouroux probably the same. You know, he had a very good relationship with Ross. Ross brought him to the football club. I'm sure, you know, I think we had the conversation Saturday night or Sunday that, you know, the defence has. If you look at stats and stats alone, you'd say the defence has kept a lot of clean sheets. Mm. Me personally, I don't have much confidence in the defence, and I think he's dug them out of a lot of holes. So I'm sure there's a lot of football clubs that are knocking on his door.
Yeah. So you look at how many man of the match awards or times Lawrence Figueroa has been man of the match. Now that doesn't fill you with confidence with your defence if the other team are having that many opportunities to shoot his goal. So totally right. Let's move on to Joby and Dino. You've been watching since, well, most of the season, but certainly since Joby's taken over.
Yeah.
How do you think he's done today? He's been in charge for, is it 14 games? I think is that right? 14 games or 16 games? I think he's won about 8, drawn 4, lost 4. How do you think? Forget the stats. How do you think he's done?
I think he's done all right. I think, you know, in that space of time, I think the only thing that surprises me that he hasn't really tinkered with the formation. He's sort of stuck with what Ross did. And just when we were just still speaking about Danny Johnson, you've got someone up front there that's starved of the ball. And, you know, they'll have a stat man and they know that he's not getting the ball. And I just find it... surprising that he didn't put someone alongside him. I think he would have excelled and probably scored even more goals, to be honest. But I think he's done all right. Listening to his interview after Southend, I think he feels he's got what he's got, he's done with. He says he needs experience. He certainly does. He needs league experience, certainly needs that. And to keep Danny Johnson, you know, you need to be bringing in players that are going to be in and around him, people that are going to be, you know, crossing the ball, playing him in. He needs to know that he's going to have, you know, a lot of chances, not feeding off scraps, not feeding off flick-ons and hopeful balls and short back passes from the opposition centre halves. He wants to know that he's going to get chances every game. I think, like you say, it's a big summer. I think, you know, if JB gets it, he certainly knows what he wants. Listening to that interview, he certainly knows what he wants to bring into the side. Whether or not he gets the opportunity to do so is obviously another thing. I'm sure we'll find out sooner rather than later, hopefully, because like you said, they need to get the ball rolling there at Orient.
Yeah. With something you just said in his post-match interview against Southend, he mentioned that there wasn't enough leaders or experience on the pitch. Mm. He's been key on the pitch this season. He's a manager with the most experience on the pitch this season. Did you find it strange that he benched himself and didn't start?
Absolutely, yeah. I've got to be honest, absolutely shocked. You know, a massive, massive game. Knowing Joby as well, you know, playing with him, big game player. I was very, very surprised he didn't put himself in there. For reasons I don't know. I'm not sure if he answered that in his interview. I don't know. Obviously, that's something we could try and interview and ask him, because, you know, it was a must-win game. And like you say,
Dino, do you think the caveat to that is because he's been offered it and he wants to step away from playing? Because for me,
fair point.
I've always, as I say, I haven't made my secret. He's my favourite player, Joby. I think he's absolutely brilliant on the pitch. But as I say, there's for me still reservations about him as a manager. But what I do think is, when you cross that white line, you kind of need to be a player or a manager. I think it's probably been hard for him to have a foot in both.
Camps. I don't begrudge his position at all. You're spot on there.
Do you 100%. Think the last couple of games, like people have made a lot of that, you know, he's had his trainers on the touchline and he's not looking to play. Do you think that he's been offered it and he's either weighing up his options or, you know, working out other commitments and he doesn't want to step over that white line?
But do you not think why we've still had a mathematical chance of getting in the playoffs? You would rather manage a club in League One than League Two.
I'd rather him play because I still think he's our best player.
Hasn't he got the second most assists in the team? Or he did have a few weeks back.
Yeah. I think for me on the management front, it's the only thing that I've really struggled to get my head around, and then, you know, we spoke last week about, I sort of suggested that, you know, getting some experience in the dugout, and you know, people maybe have jumped on that and the mentor thing, and that's not what I meant. I meant some experience on the dugout outside of the close, what I look at as a bit of a closed shop right now. But the reason I say that is because the only thing that I struggle to get my head around is you could see from his interview on Saturday that he's absolutely seething. He was absolutely seething. And
he was protecting the players as well, wasn't he?
But you could tell it was bubbling. And the thing with Joby, even at his age now, he's got great energy, he's got great bite, he gets around the pitch, he's got to the more or less the top of his game by having that little bit of a mean streak. The only thing that I've really struggled to get my head around is we still, to me, are a soft touch, and we play what I call training ground, keep ball on a Friday football rather than Division 2 football that Cheltenham and Cambridge are playing that have got them promoted. You know, we spoke last week. It's not, you from a possession-based stats, you know, you're not setting the world alight, but you're playing the best of your ability of what you've got, and you're doing all the basics right. You're getting it forward, you're getting on the second ball, you're physical. If you, as Dino said the other show, if you get it wide, you get it in the box. We can't, the system that we're playing and the players he's got at the minute, we're not doing that because we've effectively got a centre-forward playing in a three out wide that wants to just come inside and shoot. So really, the only one who's ever put any crosses in, really, is Louis Dennis, and that's been in the last three games. That's the only thing I can't get my head around.
Let's break it down. It's been spoken about all season, the formation under Ross and Joby.
Yep.
When Ross went, all the support was, oh, right, Joby's going to come and he's going to change the system. All right, he's made tweaks to it. He's played Clay sometimes with Cissé in front of the back four, and it depends on who we're playing against. Are you surprised, Dino, this goes for you, are you surprised that they've stuck with a very similar formation all season? Or do you think Joby has looked at the players and he thinks this is the best chance we've got of winning a football game, this system with the playing staff we've got available?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think, like I said, I've said about changing it, but I mean, I've heard that Connor Wilkinson doesn't want to play up front, so he's obviously got to stay out wide of a three. That would be something I would have considered as 4-4-2, but I get your point. I think he's looked at it, they've done okay with it. You know, touching on what we've said before, I'm just looking at the table now. It's Cheltenham, Cambridge, then Bolton, Morecambe, Tranmere, Newport and Salford. I mean, that was a massive opportunity for Orient to get at least in the playoffs. I think they've had four or five chances to get in that. But even the way they've been playing is what I'm trying to say. You know, they have been inconsistent. They have, you know, kept it the same. But they have had opportunities to finish in the top seven in the division, and I think they will kick themselves. They will look back and look at this season and what a massive, massive opportunity it would have been to get in there.
Totally agree with you there. Dino, when you've watched the games recently, what has been, or all season, whatever games you've watched, what has been the biggest thing that frustrates you and annoys you with either the setup or the way we play?
I think we just go square and back too much. I don't think we're aggressive, incisive. We don't take a chance. It's all very safe. I think definitely, you know, from since, well, to be fair, I've watched pretty much nearly every game this season, and that would be just really safe. And so many opportunities to play between the lines, so many opportunities to get it out wide. I think sometimes the ball has been out wide. There's only DJ in the box. There's not many numbers in there. You know, I just think it, I think it's all quite predictable, to be honest.
When you said that when the ball goes, that my biggest frustration this season is when the ball does go wide and they get in wide areas, you've just highlighted DJ's in the box on his own. Now, is that because the players know that cross is not going in the box because they're going to turn back out and play it back, square or back, and go across the midfield and try and break them down from a more central position? Because if you've got a set pattern of play, and you'll know this over the years, you know positions. If that wide man gets the ball, you know he's going to take a touch and whip it into an area.
Yeah.
And you can then guide your run off of where he's touches and with your other forward, right? Now, is it because they've been told, when you get in that wide area, you're not going to cross it? Is that why no one else is getting in the box? And is that why crosses haven't got in the box? Because I think of a few games in the last sort of 6-8 games, we've scored goals from crosses that have come in.
Yep.
You know, away to Newport, the ball comes in from Dan Kemp. I'd like to
think that is not the case, because as we know, especially in League 2 and League 1, the amount of goals from crosses, you know, percentage must be so high. But the games I've seen and you know, where I have my winger hat on, if I'm Brophy and I get it, we all know what he's going to do. He's going to push it past his man and he's going to look to whip it. And if I'm crossing it and there's only one person in there, I'm letting everyone know what the hell is get yourself in the box. You want Wilkinson at the far post. You know, Kemp's been playing just behind, so you want him in the box. And you'd probably want another central midfielder backing that up, because otherwise it's so easy to defend. And like I said, I think we're so predictable. Like I said, the games we've seen has been so predictable. You know, of our goals, let's be honest as well, a lot of goals have been missed back passes.
Yeah,
loads.
Yeah,
a lot of goals have been individual errors from the up. It's not like we've carved teams apart and we've scored some good goals. I'm not knocking the lads completely, but the last sort of 5-6 games, there's been so many individual errors where we've then scored. I think that has sort of masked a little bit in terms of what we're trying to say. I just see, when I've seen, you know, again, I always look where I, obviously, on the left, I just see, you know, Wilco's stays out wide, then you have Brophy wide, and then you've got, you know, DJ in the middle, and I just think they're so easy to mark. There's no sort of interchange. There's not something, you know, they don't make a run inside to then go. They don't go short to go long. I think it's quite predictable. And like we said, Wilco gets it. And to be fair, you know what he's going to do. If you were a scout, he's going to get on it and he's going to look to cut inside and have a shot. I think we know that.
And do you know what that makes me laugh is, because you know he's going to do that, as a teammate, I'm not, like, if I was DJ, if he cuts back on his left foot, I'm not going to make a run across the defender to get to the near post.
Is that as well? I get that completely. But like I said, I mean, knowing Joby, he can put a ball in on a sixpence. I know how much when I used to play with him, I'd like to think he would, you know, that isn't something that he would not encourage, you know, get crosses in the box. But from what we've seen, you know, unless it's, you know, on someone's head, it's got to be pinpoint, then, you know, you're not going to score.
Yeah, right. With Joby, Christian, you've said possibly Joby's been, maybe there's talks going on and the reason he didn't play on Saturday was because he wants to have a look at the squad, because he might be getting the job. Let's just say Joby's got the job. Does he make changes to his coaching staff?
You know, I think I've been quite vocal on the point that if it was me, I don't know, non-league, conference, football league, whatever, I don't know any other football club where Glenn Wilkie is appointed a manager tomorrow and you're told that, oh, we've already got a backroom staff, Frank, Terry and Jeff are going to assist you in the football club. There's a four for that, because there's consistency in the backroom staff. You're not having a manager coming in for 6 months, taking everyone with him, big upheaval, etc., etc. I get that. But at the same time,
a manager wants someone that he can trust. A manager wants someone that he's worked with in the past. And from my point of view, I want something different in that dressing room. As I say, I think I made the point last week. Then, regardless of what you say in life, you've always got people that you like and you don't like, right? There'll be players in that changing room that they are very, very, very close to, because they've been together for the last 3 or 4 years. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but when you go from being a player to a management team or a manager or whatever, there has to be that level of respect and divide. Now, I know they all respect Joby because of what he's done in his playing career, but that's not going to help the others when they're bending his ear, oh, you should play Coulson today. Come on, he's done it for us for the last 2 or 3 years. I think for me personally, if Joby's going to get that job, I would like to think that, one, he can bring his own assistant with him, which Kent alluded to last week, and three, if he has to keep that coaching staff, he's got to push, for me personally, someone to come in with outside eyes on that changing room that, as I say, can put the cat amongst the pigeons a little bit, because at the minute it all seems just a little, you know, you see a lot of the comments, jobs for the boys, all too soft, you know, Dean just said then, our approach is too safe. I think everything about Leighton Orient at the minute is a bit too safe, and I can understand why we went down that route after the mess of years ago, but I think now, with all these people that are going to be out of contract, with maybe new investment coming to the football club, with maybe appointing Joby as a new manager, you've got a clear line in the sand to say, now we need to maybe do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's been other circumstances since we left the National League, but for one reason or another, whichever route we've gone down, it hasn't exactly worked, has it?
No.
I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
And I would suggest now that it'd be, I've got no problem with Joby taking it whatsoever, you know, if that's their decision. But my caveat to that would be that they go and get someone that's been in that dugout a long time, because regardless of what you say, Joby's really only been a manager for a couple of months. He's still educating himself as a coach, let alone a manager, and I think that would help his education going forward. You know, people will say, oh, he's done this and he's done that and he's played against Messi. And he's managing a football club and playing at a football club are totally different. As you know, Dina will tell you, as a footballer, you turn up for training at 11 o'clock, you train, you have your pasta, you go home. As a manager, you're the first one in and you're the first one out. You haven't got a life. Your phone's going, you're on the phone to agents, you've got to make decisions that are not very nice. It's a totally different ball game, and I think...
Isn't that what Martin Ling does, though? The agent part I'm talking about.
The agent part, yeah. But... I know full well to speaking to football managers, regardless of a director of football or not, they're still going to phone the manager. They're still going to phone the manager. Right. And I just think it's hard. You know, Dino, you're doing your badges right. You want to go down. It's like everything, really. You've got to learn your trade sometimes before you're chucked in the deep end.
I don't begrudge Joby at all. I can only imagine how difficult it is, you know, like you said, as a player, you know, like you say, you turn up, you have a bit of banter, you train, you have your lunch, you go home. But as a manager, you know, you're thinking of the games, you're looking at analysis, you're then thinking of your formation, you're thinking of your players, is everyone all right, what are we doing in training tomorrow? I can only imagine it being non-stop for him. And I think, like you say, I think maybe experience head over him, just to sort of take that.
Again, sorry, Dino, sorry to have interrupt, but again, isn't that what Martin Ling's doing?
Well, no, I think because
he's been a manager, isn't he? The mentor as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think so. I think. Listen, I don't know their working relationship. I'm sure that they speak a lot, and I'm sure they bounce things off each other. But I think, actually, in the dugout on a match day, I think he could do with
someone next to him.
Been there and done it, and you know, just the sort of like we said, educate him and help his development. And I'm sure, you know, if that's the route they go down or not, I don't know. But
and also, hasn't Martin made it perfectly clear as well that he doesn't want to do the football side of things, the day-to-day football side of things? Is that not what he said previously, that he's quite happy to you know, be someone's ear, or but he doesn't want to be involved in the day-to-day business. And if you look at, say, Joby, Danny Sender, Matty Harrold and Dean Brittle, they've probably, well, Joby's still playing, Matty Harrold, what, is his first year he's not played, Danny Sender, what, was he a coach a year or two before, Dean Brittle, what, second year as a goalkeeping coach, they're probably still finding that, they're probably still finding their way of how to speak to people, how to put on training sessions. And I'm sure in hindsight, if you asked Ross over a beer, he'd probably say that he loved being a coach. He probably didn't enjoy the experience of being a manager whatsoever. And I just think, I don't know, it's just my personal opinion. I just think that that it wouldn't harm them having someone outside of the football club.
Right, before we move on to the breaking news today about the Leyton Orient women's team, finally on Joby, we've got 2 minutes, Dino.
Go on.
He's got two games to play. Can't go up, can't go down.
Yeah.
What does he do? Does he play with formations? Does he try and change things up? Does he give players who have not played a chance? What does he do for these last two games?
I think if decisions have been made, I think I'd look at the ones that are going to be in the door next year. I think and play with certain formations. Probably pick two formations for the games, and I would play the players that are going to be there.
Did you say players that are going, Dino, or the players that are staying?
Sorry, the players that are going. The players that are staying to play, and the ones that know are going, then I'd just leave them out, because if their minds have been made up, then, for me, you might as well just play the players that you know that are going to be in your squad for next year.
Do you think he'll play himself Saturday?
I don't think he will.
Because if the rumours are he's going to hang his boots up at the end of this season, he's got to have a little farewell, hasn't he? Last home game, Saturday.
I don't know, maybe. It might be different.
No one's there. We'd like to see him
on the
pitch, but also to make changes and make possibly a formation change to sort of show his intent, and also it would probably give a bit away as well as to whether he's staying next year as manager or not, I would have thought, with a team selection. So right, that's enough for Joby, but let's move on to the ladies. I don't know if you've seen the news today, Dino. Leyton Orient have officially announced that they are starting their own in-house ladies football team and academy, which is big news. The current team, the women's team, are no longer part of that. Now, it's not a Twitter war, but the statements from both sides, one side is extremely frustrated, one side is positive and looking at the future. There is going to be an open trial to get women coming in, and it's been said that the existing bunch, although the club are not poaching players, that the trial is open for all, so they're going to welcome all players coming over. Christian, what's your view on it? Have you got a say on it? And you're looking at me as if to say, why have you put this across to me?
You've put me in a hole here. looking from the outside, it doesn't paint us in the greatest picture, does it? To be quite honest, I think I don't know the ins and outs of it, but if the current club are happy to wear the badge and maybe finance themselves and move themselves up the leagues, is it a bit? Out of order that they haven't been included in the new, venture. The positive spin on that, though, is that there's going to be, an integrated women's and ladies' football programme within the football club. Gets more people through the door. Obviously, more children and ladies playing the game. Better affiliation with the football club. So, from that point of view, great. I'll probably leave the other part to the people fighting it out on Twitter, it looks like. But hopefully, as I say, as a football club, it will unite the club and bring more people through the door and give us some more exposure.
Yeah, yeah. Right, before we go, there's a couple of things I want to say. I just want to say well done to two departments at Leyton Orient who have been put up for awards this week. The media team for the great work they did in the summer with the FIFA tournament, and obviously the marketing team with the great sponsorship deals with Harry Kane and for the charitable causes regarding the shirt. So good luck to those guys. Fantastic. Obviously, the game Saturday's live on the stream, where you'll hopefully get to see my face rather than down the radio. You can purchase that, obviously, if you haven't got a season card through the club's website. But before we go, Dino, have you got a message for the supporters? Obviously, they're not feeling great at the moment after what's happened the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think, listen, they have remained patient, to be fair to them. I think once... maybe perhaps after these two games, then news will break of the management, get behind the new manager, and obviously it's going to be a very, very big summer. There'll be a big overhaul of players, that's for sure, and I'm looking forward to seeing that team sort of come together. Obviously, yeah, manager first, and then obviously the recruitment around that will obviously follow. So I'm looking forward to hopefully, yeah, the fans back in the ground next season, looking forward to hopefully a promotion push to get back into League One.
Yeah, are you putting the boots on still? Are you planning on playing next season still?
Yeah, I'll be playing. I haven't sort of contract yet. We're speaking with Eastbourne at the minute, but yeah, so I'm definitely going to be playing, till these little legs give up on me, I think.
Brilliant.
I'll keep going until, but doing my badges, and yeah, I think obviously... Listen, we all say we want to coach and do this and that, but I want to get them under my belt and then sort of go from there and see what happens.
Brilliant. Well, good luck with that, Dino. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Christian, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thank you.
This was the Orient Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. Up the O's.
It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. This is St. Arts and Park. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world. Till the end, if I thought you'd score, but I haven't seen a goal in God knows when, and I wanna hear rocking all over the world again. Cause this ain't Arts and Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.